Well, good evening and welcome to North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night. In the middle of January, in one of the most historic years the United States has ever experienced, and certainly the most frightening time in my lifetime since 1962 in October, when I was a freshman in high school, and every single morning when I woke up down in Texas, in Killeen, Texas, wondering if this was going to be the last day on Earth. And I don't know if it's got quite to that proportions, but it's pretty freaky to me, and it seems almost irresponsible that we're going to have a lighthearted sports show tonight, but I guess that's what's called for. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. I'm going to bring in Tim Kearns here in just a second. We do have a really good lineup of sports guests here this evening, and I'm really excited to be talking once again with Triton High School hockey coach Ryan Sheehan. They beat Linfield on Saturday night by a score of 6-2, and it's been a while since I've talked with Coach Sheehan. I believe they were playing Lincoln Sudbury last time we chatted with him. We're going to have sports writer Scott Cooper from the Marblehead Reporter on. He'll be talking out about a whole bunch of things, mostly related to Marblehead. And Gary Larrabee will be by once again. He'll be speaking English. Mike Grenier will focus on how the Celtics can do without all of their major players. But let's bring in Tim Kearns. Tim, Coach, welcome. You know, I wish you were here in studio with us. It's still months away from that, of course. But I meant that. This is the most frightening time in my lifetime since October of 1962.
Yeah, you know, I sent my former colleague that at the high school. I'm still part of their friend. It's always very interesting, and I said last weekend. You know, we've gone from the 13 days in October to the 13 days in January,
mm-hmm.
when we are on the verge of basically, we don't know what. We don't know what could happen. We have a mentally unstable individual sitting in the White House, and that's by the admission of his own staff. Because he is still president, has control of the nuclear football, as it is called. And we don't know what he might do to injure the country, you know, and make life horrible for the incoming Democratic administration, which makes it even more imperative in my eyes, you know, if you're going to be willing to impeach a president, and there was a guest on MSNBC the other night, who said exactly why the Republicans went after Bill Clinton, you know, and impeached him. If you can go after a president for that and impeach him, then why are you afraid to go after a president who, in public, before the nation, incited a crowd of thousands to go to the White House? And don't be weak. We only take it back when we're strong. And, you know, basically incited this mob to do what they did. And I just can't get my mind around the Republicans. You know, they're so concerned about Bill and Monica having a time together, but they think nothing of Trump doing what he has done for the last 4 years, and just turning a blind eye of, oh, well, that's Donald being Donald. Well, that was Bill being Bill.
Mick Mulvaney said, oh, I didn't think they were ever going to take him seriously. And I have some friends who said the same thing. Over the last 4 years, he's full of bluster, but it's good for the economy. Well, you know, what is that looking like now? And I got one thing to say before we turn this over to sports. I watched Fox this afternoon, and they were talking about Billary and the emails, and they were talking about this, that, and the First Amendment and everything else. And my response to that is, as it always has been with my own children, that's fine. You know what? You want to prosecute them, prosecute them. But we're not talking about them. We're talking about this. You did wrong. And I would always do that with my kids in class. I would do it with my own children. You can talk about everybody else all you want. I don't care about that at this moment. You did wrong. You're responsible. And Fox, the enablers, et cetera, they just keep going back on this other thing. You want to prosecute Billary? By God, go do it. But the point is that they haven't found any wrongdoing with her. I'm not a fan of Billary, believe me.
But well, the thing of it is, when they were going after Clinton in 98, Stott spent over $40 million. In the end, Whitewater, they found nothing, regarding the Clinton in Whitewater, the money that they invested in the land holdings, and they found nothing there. And of course, Linda Tripp showed up with, "Hey, listen, I got a friend who's got a dress," and it's like, okay, now we can get him on this.
Yeah, but again, Tim, that's irrelevant.
But
in my mind, that's irrelevant. That was 30 right. years ago. I'm talking about today. And today, we have an election that was verified by Republicans and Democrats alike across the country. Court after court after court said the election is legal. This is the way it is done. And on Wednesday, the United States, the Constitution, Capitol, were all attacked by insurrectionists, and in effect, in my mind, this country is at war right now.
Well, they're promising actions at all 50 state capitals come the 20th. That's going to be interesting.
Well, let's hope it doesn't get to that. And the fact that they called it 50... In every state, it would be an armed protest, which doesn't mean necessarily they're going to fire your weapons. Although, I guess the president-elect, the vice president-elect, and Pelosi are all targets. But
correct. They walked into the nation's capital armed.
Well,
and the police did nothing. They wouldn't let the National Guard get called out. Every one of those individuals that went in there should have been knocked down, tased, and wrapped up, but nothing was done.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen, but as I said, in my mind, and I've been through some stuff with the service and so on, but in my mind, this is the scariest time since 1962. But so far, the Constitution has stood tall. It weathered the storm. It was bruised and battered in 2000, and it's weathering the storm right now. So. We'll see how it goes. All right, we're going to turn that down a notch, and let's get back to the sports at hand. We're going to open up with Ryan Sheehan here in just a minute, and we've got a lot to talk about, Coach, with sports tonight. So hang in there. And I guess at the end of the program, I want to ask you about the NBA, the NFL playoffs, because there are a lot of great games this weekend.
Yeah, there were.
All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back with Triton High School hockey coach, Ryan Sheehan.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
All right, Ryan Sheehan is with us now. I got to bring in, punch that button there, and bring in Tim Kearns with us as well. Coach, welcome back to MSO, and man, there's a lot transpired in the last 10 months.
Yeah, it's been crazy, but thanks for having me back.
Great to have you back, Coach. And, you know, I know that it was so exciting going into that playoff game last year and didn't turn out too well, but you guys had a spectacular season. And I want to ask you, what is the carryover from that season coming into this one, considering the restrictions the kids are under?
We were definitely excited about the team we had coming back. You know, we have 12 seniors on the team.
Wow.
And pretty much our top two lines, except for one forward, are back from last year. And, you know, the six forward filled that role just nicely. And, you know, we've had two games so far, and we've played pretty good in both of them. And the on-ice restrictions haven't been much of a change. It's just the practice times and the locker room and things like that, which is a big change. But all is well on the hockey front with us.
Oh, that's good. And I know that the stands are empty, but once the puck drops, the kids probably don't pay much attention to that at all. I know that I want to get to the most recent game you guys played. Give me a quick thumbnail on your first game.
We played against North Reading. We beat them 3-0. Our goalie, Wes Rollins, who was our goalie last year, he was a freshman last year, he's a sophomore this year. He's come along great. He looks solid in the net, and you know, he controlled the game early, and we didn't play as good as we played against Linfield, but we got a couple greasy ones and ended up locking them down and winning 3-0. So
did you say a couple of greasy ones?
A couple of greasy ones.
I've heard dirty goals, but that's okay. All right. I'm going to get to some of the kids' names here in a few minutes, but
you know,
Linfield opened up. They were disappointed in their 1-1 tie with Hamilton Wenham, but it also speaks well to Hamilton Wenham's effort. I guess
they
had a spectacular effort from their goaltender. So tell me a little bit about the Linfield game.
We came out right from the opening drop and scored about 12 seconds into the game. And it just, you know, we moved the puck really well, against them. And, you know, that obviously makes us go. You know, when our D get it up quick to our forwards and let our forwards play down low. And, you know, I think we can really wear teams out. And I think that's what we did. You know, we actually peppered their goalie early on. I think we ended the first period 3-0. And then after 2, it was 5-0, and
we kind of
cruised at the end, but we ended up winning 6-2. They had a nice power play goal in the third, but you know, I think we're starting to click a little bit, and there, like I said, there's a lot of carryover from last year, so these guys have played in big time games, so this is coming pretty naturally to them.
I just did an eye roll when you said you're starting to click a little bit. I'm going to bring in Tim Kearns here in a second. I don't know if you met Tim last year. I'm sure you did, but tell me a little bit about the league structure this year. I mean, what's your next game coming up? Because so many games are being postponed. There's the COVID.
Yeah. So we were supposed to play Newburyport tomorrow night, which is, you know, we're slated to play them 3 times, and we share the rink together. You know, it's a rivalry game, and I know that our boys are going to be extra pumped up to play those guys. But unfortunately, they got shut down due to, you know, obviously COVID-19, and so we have to reschedule the game for tomorrow night. But we play Newburyport 3 times because Amesbury dropped their program, so we were just trying to get that 10th game. And the rest of the teams, we play the teams in the large 2 times, and then we play the teams in the small, 1 time apiece. And, it's pretty much every Wednesday and every Saturday. And if they don't get canceled, hopefully we can get all 10 in, you know.
And keep your fingers crossed. Tim?
Because you happen to mention, you know, the impact of COVID. We've seen what it's done, in professional sports, especially. It's suddenly coming around, and the Celtics are getting hit, professional hockey teams are getting hit. By comparison, how have you guys fared overall, though?
I just, you know, the goal is just to stay healthy and make it through a 10-game season and keep these kids on the ice as much as possible, because, you know, they need it. They absolutely need to be on the ice and doing this, especially because, you know, we have a lot of hockey players on this team, and it's their passion. So, but pretty much we're just trying to, you know, if you feel a little bit sick, stay home. You know, we do a good job of wearing our masks on the ice and keeping as much distance as possible, and we don't use locker rooms, and it's kind of a, you know, it's actually flowing quite easily. But you know, at any given moment, these kids know that it could be shut down, and I think they take that day-by-day approach.
What is the outlook for some of the other teams? I know that, again, Pentucket has been playing. Who else is playing, Coach?
I know Linfield's been playing, North Reading's playing, Newburyport's been shut down, Pentucket's been playing, Hamilton Wenham has been playing, I haven't seen too many scores.
Rockport's been playing, yeah, it's hard to track down scores right now, for
right,
sure.
And Rockport is playing, so our next game is actually going to be against Rockport on Saturday afternoon.
Where's that one?
At the Graff Rink.
At the Graff, okay.
You know, I think Pentucket gave them a good game the other night, and ended up beating them, I think, 4-1. But we'll see. You know, we just want to play. That's it. And the kids just want to play.
I did the Gloucester Peabody game on Saturday night, and I didn't hear any whistles. Are the officials using whistles?
So they use these electronic whistles, and they're pretty faint. So far, there hasn't been anything that, you know, safety wise, where I think there's an issue, but there's been a couple inadvertent whistles because
yeah.
It's, you know, it's on their thumb. So if they, you know, if they go to take a couple hard strides and they accidentally hit the button, you know, it'll go off and, you know, you stop the play, you have a draw. But I will say that, I feel as though the icings, have been waived a little more. I don't know the reason for that. The only thing I can think is that we probably want to have less draws,
mm-hmm.
Less face offs. So, and it didn't really disrupt the game, I don't think, too much. But, yeah, I think the whistles are tough because if you actually had fans in the stands with a little bit of noise, you wouldn't be able to hear them. There would be some bad stuff going on.
I was down close to the ice, and I couldn't hear them at all. But I think...
All right, Ryan, regarding that, you know, you mentioned that it appeared that they were letting some of the offsides go. Is that freeing up the pace of play where... guys are able to break more than usual?
I mean, we've only played two games so far, and that was just my observation. And I know, and yeah. I've talked to a couple of refs, and I asked them the question. They said, "No, it's not. You know, no. Like at ref meetings, we didn't talk about, you know, waving more icings or anything like that." But I think that if it does continue like that, I think that you can kind of, you know, spring guys and not worry about, you know, icing the puck and having face-offs in your own zone. So.
One thing I noticed was that, you know, the so-called scrum, both teams, both Peabody and Gloucester, it looked like they had been well disciplined to not put a second or third player in against the boards, you know, when the puck was being tied up. It was strictly one-on-one, and that did keep the flow of the game moving.
Absolutely, and it's how a coach would like to teach their guys to play. You know, I mean, if there's something on the board, you're not going to go in there and pin yourself and not be available when the puck squirts out. So, you know, that third guy coming into a board battle is, you know, he has to read the play and hopefully the puck squirts out and he's in a great position to make a play off of that. But, you know, it's actually the way hockey should be played. You know, you shouldn't have those 5 and 4 car pileups on the wall and have the play be stopped. So, yeah, and I mean, it's, like I said, the hockey, the on-ice hockey has been good.
I'm happy for you. Let's talk about the kids. Tell me about your leaders.
We have one captain and 4 assistant captains, and they're all equally good at leading the team. Brady Lindholm is a defenseman who, you know, power play guy. He's out there quite a bit. Can pass the puck. He's pretty smooth and just a, you know, a solid kid all around. And definitely will quarterback our power play. James Tatro is another senior who's fun to watch. You know, this year he's just gotten a lot stronger and he shoots the puck harder and it's showing. You know, he's scoring a lot of goals and getting himself in great spots. We have Cale Cohan. He'll be centering James, and he's good with the puck. He can shoot it. He's pretty good out there, and he plays a good 3-zone game. And then Jack Forrest is another guy who's got some wheels, and so that's a pretty tough line. And our second line is kid Aiden Lowry, who's a tough kid. You know, he goes into the corners, battles pretty hard, and his two wings are Ben Rennick, who, like I said, he's very slippery. You know, he's not overly big, but he's got nice hands, and he can score a little bit. And they have Ryan Lindholm, who is a big right winger, and he can score a little bit too. So two lines of guys that can put the puck in the net is definitely something you like to see.
Absolutely. You know, Ryan, Tim and I are both teachers, and we've lived a lot of history. When you talk to the kids, especially that you've had these kids for so long now, this sort of, even though it's a truncated season, it's going to be a special season for you with these guys.
Yeah, it absolutely is, and they know it. And I think a lot of people, and you hear this in pro sports and college sports, and a lot of people are just taking that one day at a time approach. And it's like, you know, guys, enjoy this 50 minutes we have at practice just as much as you would, you know, stepping on the ice in a game, because we don't know when it's gonna end for these guys. So, you know, it definitely is a special season. Would I like to play 20 games with these guys? Absolutely. But you know, we have a great group in there. And I, you know, they're all positive and ready to go, and so I can't complain too much about my hockey team.
And the thing is that we're getting ever so closer to getting better and to getting back to normal. So we got to keep doing the right thing. Tim, any final thoughts for Coach Sheehan?
No, just congratulations on a great start, and you're putting the puck in the net at a good rate. You want to keep that going.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, we've been pretty fun to watch, and it's a good group of kids, and I'm just excited for them. Hopefully, to get 10 games in this year, and
go out with
some good memories. Yeah, we can hopefully all the games are streamed, but it's not the same. But you know,
it is.
We do our best.
How's your young family doing?
My young family's doing great. I can't complain.
That's great. All right, what's the schedule this week, Coach? Final question.
We have practice every day, and then we have Rockport on Saturday.
Rockport Saturday.
2 o'clock.
All right, Ryan, we'll talk to you later on. Thank you so much for taking the time, Coach. I got a hold of you very late, so thanks for responding. I really appreciate it. And good luck to you and the kids.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks, Ryan.
And we'll talk soon.
Very good. Bye. Take care.
That
is Ryan Sheehan, who is the coach for Triton High School, and they're off to a terrific start. And you hear the attitude. Tim, that's one thing I've been relieved to hear, is that coaches, I don't know about teachers, you've talked to teachers more than I have, but the coaches are just optimistic that the kids are listening. They're coachable right now, and they just want to get out there and play, and they want to sort of ignore this pandemic on the one hand, but on the other hand, play by the rules.
Well, one of the things, Rick, I think that's different for kids playing a sport and kids in the classroom is that the kids on the team that really want to be there, you know? And you know, you were there a long time as well as myself. In the classroom, you've always got kids who aren't really maybe as connected as you would like them to be, as tuned in as you would like them to be. And sometimes that's the half the battle, is finding a means by which we entertain and pull the kids that are a little on the outside of the circle back into the circle. But the kids that have been playing sports, they really want to be there. They get a hunger. And especially in these particular times, as Coach was saying, they're hoping to get that 10-11 game season in and do the best they can. You know, there's no postseason, so it's what you make of these 10-11 games that you may be able to win your division, win your league, and have that to go out with a memory as the senior. So I think the focus of the athletes is what sets them apart from the regular students.
It's interesting, and I know that, you know, as a former, I'm not going to call myself an athlete, but I played a lot of sports. And, you know, Coach, one of the things I enjoyed was just playing. And I remember many times just getting pickup games off season or whatever it was with as many guys as we could, and just participating, competing, and, you know, pretending you're out there in the pros or whatever. But the idea was to play and win. And even though it is a shortened season, it seems like the coaches have instilled that enthusiasm with these youngsters that, okay, it's still interscholastic sports, and you have still made the varsity.
Yeah, we grew up at a different time, Rick, when, you know, you could get upwards of maybe 10 to 12 kids from either your own neighborhood or the surrounding neighborhood, get down to the local ball field, get down to the local basketball court, and you'd play all day, you know, and you thought nothing of it. You took a break, you flipped teams, you switched sides, and you kept playing. And sometimes you'd go to other neighborhoods, you know, in that part of the city, and you'd look for matchups, not to Marcus and take kids on from West Lynn. You know, we go to other areas of West Lynn and looking for games. And you know, you're playing for the neighborhood pride. You know, you came back again, but the kids don't do that today. You never see kids grabbing. You know, you have one bat, one ball, a half a dozen gloves, and you can play a full game. You just left your glove in the outfield or the infield.
Yeah, yeah.
Another guy got to use it. You know, it was just a different time when we did that. And we were always playing something. No matter what season it was, we were playing that sport during that time.
I remember skating at the old Gordon College rink, which is adjacent to 128, just off that exit there to Gordon College. And we used to skate. We were sort of semi-adults, if you understand what I'm saying. And we had...
Folks, I want you to know, Ricky's saying those were adults who didn't act that way.
well, we had the ice time for like 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. on a Saturday or a Sunday morning. I don't remember which one it was now. But we'd get out there, and, man, this time of year, if you're skating into the northwest wind, it was blowing you backwards because that's the way the rink was aligned. But then when you turn around and come back the other way, you're just whooshed back in the other direction. It was so cold. But we did that. And we're a bunch of just, you know, that's all we could get was to get that ice out there. And we paid for it. And we played once a week for like, you know, 15 or 20 weeks.
And I was an NDC kid back in the 60s. And it's all closed now over break time. But back then, it was just a Quonset hot top, and the sides were open. And like you said, when the wind decided to blow, it got chilly. And we'd go to either Sluice or Flax Pond in Lynn, and you're right, you know, you get out of the pond, and you open up your jacket, and if you had the wind at your back, you could fly all the way down the end of the pond. Yeah. But then you had to skate all the way back against the wind.
Oh, it's brutal.
Which is a workout in itself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that. All right, Coach.
Thank you.
All right. This is good. Coming up, we got Gary Larrabee talking some golf. And after that, Mike Grenier talking some basketball. And we'll check in. I want to get Tim's thoughts on the NFL playoffs, too. But we also have Scott Cooper. I've been neglecting to mention Scott. Scott will be talking about Marblehead, primarily Marblehead boys and girls hockey, but some other stuff as well. And that'll be coming up toward the end of our program. So stay with us. This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Bill Newell, always with us. We'll be right back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we're back now with the great Gary Larrabee. Happy New Year. Did we do this 2 weeks ago? I don't think we did. But anyway, Gary, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys, considering all the mayhem around us. Hope you guys are doing well.
We're trying to weather the storm here and pretend that, that sports is the most important thing going on. So, I'm going to let you get started, and I'll join in after I hear what Tim and you guys have to say.
Well, I'm actually getting ready for tonight's big game. You know, there is a big game on tonight, Alabama and Ohio State.
Yes.
I have some Ohio State blood within my veins after spending 2 years out there as an undergraduate back in the late 60s. You can imagine who my allegiance will be with tonight.
Is that an 8:30 or 9 o'clock game, Gary?
I think it's an 8 o'clock, 8:15 game. And, of course, the other interesting part of it, guys, is the fact that Ryan Day, the Ohio State head coach, is a New Hampshire boy, so we always like to root for those New Hampshire boys.
That gives me another a reason. You know, it's interesting, Gay. You get Alabama into these games, and I know they've won they've won six titles, but it just seems to me sometimes they just struggle when they get into this match here, and their opponent just gets up for the matchup.
Well, Alabama certainly is king of the hill right now in college football, despite what Clemson has done pretty well the last few years. And so it's an interesting game, guy. But of course, we also have a lot to talk about on the golf side. And you know, one particular thing, of course, that the PGA Tour got going this weekend in Hawaii with the Century Tournament of Club Champions. And of course, the winner of this tournament yesterday, ironically, was not a champion on the PGA Tour in 2020, but of course they changed the rules for qualification for this event to get a few more players involved, and that means if you qualified for the FedEx Cup playoffs finals in Atlanta, which only included 30 players, you could play in Hawaii as well. So Harris English, who hadn't won in 5 years, won the tournament in a very tight match with Joachim Niemann and Justin Thomas, a great finish and lots of excitement. It could bode well for another terrific year on the PGA Tour, with or without galleries. So we certainly have to be happy for Harris English. That's his third tour win. He's 31 years old. He's from Georgia. Boy, it's been a big week for Georgia, huh?
Yeah, really. Niemann got into the tournament by the same invitation as English did. And so talk about a turnaround and taking advantage of the opportunity presented to you.
So true. And, of course, it was a terrific, very strong fielding. Everybody was there except for Brooks Koepka and some guy named Woods. So a very strong field, and they resumed this week in the islands for one more tournament, a regular tour event. And we'll see how the new tour continues as we get into 2021. One local angle, guys, we want to share with our listeners the fact that Kip Tyler, who recently retired after 38 years as the course superintendent at Salem Country Club, has been selected as the recipient of the Golf Course Superintendents Association of New England 2021 Distinguished Service Award. So they haven't forgotten about Kip, even though he's been off the job for a year in retirement. Congratulations, Kip Tyler, and another feather in his extraordinary cap.
I know that. Go ahead, Tim. Well, okay. Scott Cooper, I was talking to Scott this afternoon. One of the Marblehead kids is apparently going to go play golf down at, not Chapel Hill, but, what's the other place down there? Well, I can't remember. But anyway, he's agreed to go down and play golf at in North Carolina and also to play some baseball down there. But, Gary, I want to ask you about what's the significance of the PGA pulling out of Trumpville?
Well, they're obviously don't want to be associated with this gentleman who's still in the White House. Simple as that. They don't want to get involved with any of that. But the fact that what happened last week was instigated by this guy.
Gentlemen, I would not use, Gary.
Well, I'm trying to be nice, but obviously they had an out in the contract. And I'm thrilled that they did it. And I don't think you'll see the same type of change of plans for Bill Belichick come Thursday when he's supposed to receive the Medal of Freedom.
Mm.
But I'm afraid Trump is cheap in those Medal of Freedom. He'd be giving them out like cupcakes.
And, if he could give one to Lou Holtz, which I'm trying to figure out what he did to deserve it in the first place.
Well, okay. I'm not gonna go there, but
no, but you know, and I can't, you know, and I mean the online reaction, the local reaction to Belichick, you know, considering taking this thing at this particular point in time, not that I think it bothers him.
No, make no mistake. Belichick's his own man. He'll do whatever he wants. He doesn't care about anyone's opinion. But that's his choice. He'll have to live with it. And I know one of the columnists at the woman columnist. Her name escapes me right now. Sullivan, Tara Sullivan, wrote a column that got on the Globe website this afternoon, telling Billy should not go. But it's just the nature of the times, guys, and you know, we just have to keep our fingers crossed. And when politics and sports cross over, we have a little bit of a problem. Because last week, I didn't even realize this, but recently he gave these medals of freedom to Gary Player and to Annika Sorenstam, and posthumously to Babe Zaharias, who was one of our favorite women golfers of all time since she won her historic 1954 Women's Open at Salem before she died of cancer.
And you wrote a great book about that.
Yeah, I had some fun with that. Thank you. Thank you, Rick. But you know, just times are crazy, and Trump's going to do some more crazy things between now and his last day in office. And nothing he could do about the PGA pulling out. Contractually, obviously, they had an out. And, you know, these are such extraordinary times, guys. I just, it makes me speechless.
Mm.
Sometimes people can't believe it. They do make me speechless.
Gary, I was out to dinner with my wife on Friday night and my daughter, and I saw, I couldn't tell what it was, but there was something on the television about Jack Nicklaus with some business or something or other. Is there anything about Nicklaus in the news?
I'm not aware of it, because Jack did endorse Trump back in...
No, it didn't have anything to do with that, no. No,
well,
no.
I have no idea. I have no idea. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, me too. Okay. All right, so we got the Celtics. We're going to talk to Mike Grenier in a couple of minutes here about the Celtics. And, you know, the great start that they're off to is kind of amazing, but this damn COVID is hitting them right in the head.
Yeah, they get two games postponed or canceled in two consecutive days, and this COVID-19 thing ain't going to quit soon. It's still getting worse by the day, both here in Massachusetts and around the country. And around the world, if you look at Scotland, England, frightened what's happening there as well as in L.A. But sports is going to kind of keep going, and no one was going to stop the NFL from having their season. They got the playoffs underway. They're down to eight teams. We'll have four terrific games hopefully next weekend, one including Brady.
He's amazing. He's amazing.
He's amazing, no question. And the NFL will keep going come hell or high water, but I'm not so sure about the NBA or the NHL.
Right, right. All right, last question. I'm not going to give away our ages. I don't know when I'm scheduled to get the shot, but I know it's coming up in the next phase here pretty soon. How about you guys, Tim, Gary?
I haven't heard of any opportunity to get it. My wife thought of that at her work last week because she works at Trinity Hospital. In Boston, so she was a frontline person, so she got it. I'm hoping to get it, so I could maybe make some appearances back at school.
Well, the hell with school. Come back here in the studio where you belong.
I don't know. Right now, I'm like, I trust you. Where have you been lately?
Well, once I get the shot, I'll be all right. How about you, Gary?
Yeah, I should be getting it sometime next month. I've got two very serious underlying conditions.
Yes.
Because they're both under very good control right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get top priority, but I have enough connections at Mass General where all my doctors are that they should be lining me up for something in early February. Keeping our fingers crossed, but my goodness, it's what a world, guys. What a world. No. We're turned upside down.
Yeah, you got two underlying conditions. I got four. I got four of them.
Wow.
He wins. Tim wins. But I will say this. We have Mass General, and thank God for Mass General. My experience there has been the most amazing, amazing experience ever. Just incredible. Gary, next Monday, is there golf coming up this week?
Of course. We got the regular PGA Tour kicks in this week with a regular field. And
okay.
It's Sony Open in Hawaii, one of the other islands. And We're waiting for the LPGA Tour to get underway, but we're looking forward to lots of golf to talk about in the future.
Nice deflection, and just great to hear that, Gary. Pleasure talking with you, man, and we'll look to talk to you next Monday night. Thank you.
Stay well, guys, and stay safe,
Gary.
Absolutely. Keep playing. Take care.
All right, Gary. Take care. Swing easy. That's what I used to hear on the golf tips on WESX when I worked there every day during the summertime for many, many years of my teaching career. Swing easy. I forget what that was, but at the end of it, he always would say swing easy. I don't know what that meant. You don't do that in baseball, Tim. You don't swing easy.
No, you go for the you try to go yard every swing.
Right, and it's that flick of the wrist, right? That
and roll the wrist
and technique.
Roll the wrist.
All right. Roll the wrist. Okay, let's take another break and come back with Mike Grenier, talk some Celtics, and then after that we'll check in with Scott Cooper of the Marblehead Reporter. He's a longtime friend and sports journalist, and he's got a lot of good stuff to impart to us. We'll be right back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Let's press that button, and we're back, and you can hear Tim saying hi to Mike Grenier. Mike Grenier is a sports journalist and a longtime sports... You know, it's funny, Mike, if we total the years among the three of us, it would be ridiculous. But I still feel like I'm, in many ways, 10 or 12 years old, going to the library, grabbing that Sports Illustrated, or going to the Sporting News to check out all the statistics. I was living in Germany, and I wanted to read all the Red Sox statistics.
Oh, yeah.
It just doesn't go away for us, does it?
No, I mean, I remember used to, as a kid, picking up, like, the Sunday Globe, and they would have the batting averages of every major league player, the pitching records, the batting, in tiny, tiny type, tiny, tiny type. And you would pore over those figures and remember that, you know, Ernie Banks was hitting .310 for the Cubs, or Bob Gibson was winning his 18th game, or whatever.
Eddie Matthews,
Yeah, I mean, those are the things that we studied religiously. Now they're at the snap of a finger on the internet.
Oh, yeah. And, Tim, I don't know about you, but man...
We'd always buy the Sporting News.
Yep.
I had to have the Sporting News.
Oh, the Sporting News, yeah.
And I remember sitting out on the back steps of my parents' house on Deer Park and Lynn with a scorebook in hand and a AM/FM radio.
Yep.
Listening to the Sox and scoring the game at a very young age. And it just really brought you there, even though you weren't there.
And Sporting News, was a great big paper, wasn't it, if I remember?
Yes,
it
was pretty thick, yeah. Especially in its heyday, it was a pretty thick issue. That's why you looked forward to getting it, because you could study it over a period of 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah,
you know?
And they had all the minor league affiliates. You could check all those guys, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yes. Scottsdale, Arizona. The Red Sox used to have their AAA team there. Back in the old days, you know, I think George Scott played there back in the early to mid-60s before he joined the team.
The Boomer. All right, Mike.
Yeah.
Listen.
But anyway.
Great start for the Celtics, I got to tell you. You know, the last time we talked, they were 1-2.
Now they're 7-3.
Yeah, and they've been on a roll, and they've done it with bigs, and they've done it with littles, but they're up against it right now. So maybe your overview of how things have gone and how they're going to go in the next couple of weeks.
Well, I was hoping we'd talk about this because I've been kind of looking things over today because right now I believe the NFL Players Association is meeting with the league to discuss what's happening all over the league with an outbreak of COVID. And frankly, I'm not surprised. I mean, obviously the NBA did a great job in the bubble. There weren't any positive tests that I can remember. Everyone got to play their games in the playoffs. But now, like we said, I think the horse is out of the barn. Players are out on their own after games. You know, obviously that was an ugly thing that developed the other night. The Celtics were down to 8 players because the other 7 guys were either in protocol or had tested positive or had contract tracing that got them back. So they only had 8 players available. And all of a sudden we hear that the Miami Heat are the ones that were causing the game to be postponed because they couldn't suit up enough players because of all their COVID protocols. And now tonight's Dallas New Orleans game is off for the same reason. And the Celts Bulls game for Tuesday night, tomorrow night, has already been called off. And I think it's not a sense of panic yet, but I think there's a source, situation has really, really gotten much more serious. And I don't, you know, obviously, the reason that the NBA has only released half its schedule, guys, is that they actually built in some off dates for the second half of the schedule in case there was some postponements. Well, there's been 5 games that I know of that have been postponed in the first 20 days, and obviously that number is going to grow, I think, in the next week or two. So it's a super serious situation, and we're all watching how the NBA will react because these are young guys that are getting it, you know. And Adam Silver, the commissioner, to his credit, you know, said that they would not quite, quote, jump the lines to get the vaccine. Well, I hope that's the case because there are a lot of people our age, guys, who deserve to get the vaccination long before NBA and NFL and Major League players get them. So it's really, you know, you want to see the NBA go on. The Celtics are off to a great start. I love the way Pritchard is playing, the rookie. Robert Williams seems to have improved. Tatum and Jaylen Brown are, I think, among the top 10 scorers in the entire league. Each of them is averaging over 26 points a game. There's a lot to be excited about on the court. But right now it's being overshadowed with things that are happening off the court. And one thing, guys, I don't know how you feel about this, but when the Celtics play or any team plays and then they're hugging and their opponents after the game, I'm wondering why is that being allowed?
Yeah, I don't get that. Yeah, I saw that the other night and I thought, what the hell are they doing? Yeah.
Right. And you know, after that Washington Wizards game Friday night, Tatum and Bradley Beal were hugged. It was a friendly hug. And then they were talking face-to-face, close to each other. And I'm thinking, this can't be good.
Right.
And sure enough, Bradley Beal was declared out the very next night. So these are things that they have to get stricter on. That's just a start, in my opinion.
Are they considering a shutdown for a couple of weeks? Is that a possibility?
It's a possibility. I don't think they have reached. They don't want that word to get out just yet. I think that's why they're meeting right now and maybe tomorrow. I like, you know, somebody said the almighty dollar will rule. They want these games to go on because the TV contracts are incredibly lucrative, guys, right? These TV contracts, they want the games to go on. But obviously, if it becomes the pandemic becomes even worse within the league, they're going to have a pause to the season, whether that means a week or two or whatever. They might have to have a pause. I mean, the NFL was able to get away with playing their entire 16-game schedule, and you know, there were some problems, but now they're in the middle of the playoffs and it looks like they're going to be fine. So have they taken more precautions than the NBA? Right now it looks like it because the bigger problem right now has been in the NBA.
Mike, X's and O's, let's get back to that. Because we were talking about that earlier. You know, not having a big man and the poor shot selection by Jason Tatum at the end of the game.
Right.
Has that sort of been rectified? Did Coach Stevens make some adjustments?
I think he has. I mean, I think Tatum, we've seen him, I think, in the first four or five games. He only got to the foul line four times in the first four or five games of the season, or three or four games. Then all of a sudden, we saw him go to the line like 9, 10 times. Then another game, he went to the line 13 times. And that makes him just a better player. If he's going to take it to the basket, he's already a great outside shooter. If he's going to take it to the basket and start getting the benefit of the calls, I mean, he's going to get his 26 or 30 points. And Jaylen Brown was already doing that in the first place. I love the way Jaylen Brown's been playing. I mean, he's shooting like 57% from the floor, like close to 48% something of the three-pointers. So those two guys are carrying the team, but we have seen improvement in Robert Williams to a certain degree. I love his quickness underneath the basket. I love the way he plays the two-man game. Of all things, he's playing a great two-man game with the rookie Pritchard. Pritchard seems to know how to penetrate and dish it off to and get dunks, easy dunks for Robert Williams. So we've seen that on numerous occasions so far. I'm thinking, wow, these two guys have developed the chemistry, even though they've only known each other for a couple of months, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing some good things there. And, you know, Tice doesn't have to play the heavy minutes and Tristan Thompson's been involved too. So, you know, that it's kind of a promising thing. And obviously being 7-3 right now, they're equal with the Philadelphia 76ers for the best record in the Eastern Conference. The only team that has a better record overall is the Lakers, who are 8-3.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you kind of like the way they're playing. You just hope that there isn't a pause to the season, and hopefully that the guys can be more smarter and more careful about their interactions with each other. And who knows, right, guys? After games, these guys are in big cities right now. Are they being allowed to go to restaurants that are open? Are they being allowed to go to clubs or whatever, which traditionally young guys do? I mean, I don't know. You know, we don't know that private part of their lives, what they're doing before and after games.
Right.
You know, for the money they're making, the league or the team should have the right to impose certain restrictions in order to guarantee that they're available to fulfill the contract. And the contract is you to be here, be healthy. You know, if you're hurt, that's one thing. But if
right.
you're putting yourself in a position where you're becoming infected, that's totally another.
No, I agree, Tim. I totally agree. But I think it's hard to enforce if a player is perhaps an innocent bystander, you know, and catches it or is found through contact tracing that he's been in the vicinity of a person who tested positive. I think it's going to be a tough call to make, but I agree with you. I think they need to get stricter right away if they want to prevent a major outbreak in the NBA and all that. And by the way, guys, we should mention that the guy that the Celtics lost, Gordon Hayward, is off to an incredibly good start with the Charlotte Hornets. He's had a 44-point game a few nights ago. He's averaging like 22 a game, and he's shooting lights out. I mean, I've watched a couple of his games, and he's playing better than ever, you know?
Well, you know, the thing that is, you're glad he's doing it, but he wasn't giving that too much here. And whether his role changed, that
yeah.
he's a bigger part of the offense, that they're looking for his output, because here he had to compete for the ball.
Well, there's no question. There's no question, Tim. With that team, he's more of the first or second option, actually. Whereas with the Celtics, when Kemba Walker was healthy, he was the fourth option behind Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown. So, yeah, his role has changed. And, you know, maybe that's one of the reasons he jumped ship, because he knew that he would have a much bigger role on a team that's not nearly as good as the Celtics. It's whatever satisfies him, I guess, at this point in his career. Certainly the money was a motivating factor. The Celtics weren't about to give him $120 million for 4 years. So, although I think Danny Ainge admitted that he was going to give him $100 million for 4 years, I think you and I and Rick could live on the $100 million for 4 years
We could get by.
you know, I don't know. I think I'd need that extra 20.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, Lordy. And the good news is, you know, we're headed toward a good thing. The vaccine is on its way and so on and so on. And Kemba Walker will be back. So it looks like a pretty bright future for the Celtics.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I was a little bit down on him when, like you said, Rick, they were off that 1-2 start and Tatum was settling for 26-foot jumpers. But now they've settled in. They're playing much better. You know, we've also got to mention these role players like Ojeleye, who to me didn't impress me his first 3 years in the league. he's been more active as an offensive player. He's taken it to the basket a few times. He takes three-pointers and is hitting his three-pointers. He's playing a much more active role than he did his first two or three years in the league. Pritchard, obviously, has been a really terrific addition as a rookie. I'm eager to see what this kid Aaron Nesmith can do. It was Ainge's first pick, in the number 14 spot in the draft this year. So far, he's been a deer in the headlights kind of play. He has not many minutes, but when he has played, he's looked intimidating out there. And if you're going to be missing players because of COVID protocols, this kid Nesmith's going to have to play some time and show some effectiveness. Right now, he doesn't look ready compared to Pritchard, who was taken at the number 26 spot in the draft. And he's averaging like 9 points a game. We've seen what he can do. He penetrates. He's not afraid to play. And he hits his three-pointers. I mean, he's been a really terrific and pleasant surprise.
He seems pretty cerebral, too, knows what to do.
Yeah, and you know, we talked about it too, right, guys? He had a 4-year career at the university. He's a 22-year-old rookie as opposed to 18 or 19-year-old rookie. In terms of his intellectual maturity, his basketball IQ, he's much further along than the more athletic kid like Nesmith, you know?
All right, I got to wind this down, Mike. So I'm going to switch gears here for you and Tim, because you mentioned settling in, how the Celtics are settling in, and I love your analysis, and we'll do it next week too, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Talk about settling in. I watched Tom Brady this weekend, and I've never seen him throw the long ball better in his entire career with the Patriots.
Well, you know what? It's funny you should bring that up, because they did show a graphic that he's averaging like 9.4 yards per attempt. It's the second highest attempt average of his career. Like, he's doing this at age 43. He's zinging the ball, you know, much better than Ben Roethlisberger and some of these other guys. Although Roethlisberger threw 501 yards last night, which is second only to Brady's 505.
In the Super Bowl.
Correct. But Roethlisberger threw 68 passes, and he had 4 interceptions, okay? So, and you know, they got off to a horrible start, as you know, down 20. But getting back to Brady, I watch him play, and the other night, he threw for 381, and that's what Chris Godwin, one of his best receivers, I saw at least 3 drops on Godwin.
Yes, yes,
a very
yes.
good receiver.
Yes.
And he dropped at least 3. He's playing magnificent. And obviously, the ultimate test, right, Rick and Tim, is that they're playing New Orleans this weekend. They lost twice to New Orleans in the regular season, including a 38-3 defeat, which was the worst of Brady's career.
Yes.
So it'll be really interesting, and they have to go into New Orleans and play. It'll be interesting to see what hopefully Bruce Arians, the head coach, can design to give them a better shot at winning, because it's all not on Brady's shoulders. I mean, the defense has to play much better than it did against New Orleans. I mean, the offensive line, it's every facet of their team has to play better if they have a shot at beating New Orleans.
Yeah, I was just amazed, you know, watching him. And they were talking about Brady's statistics. And, you know, this guy is his first game or his second game. You know, and Brady, 42nd game, 42 games.
Oh, yeah.
And they,
it was interesting.
And
yeah.
Got, you know, 5 touchdowns, 1 touchdown, 2 touchdowns, and Brady's got 150.
Oh, yeah. How about this one?
So when he showed. Away.
Oh, no, it's no question. How about this one? Brady has more playoff victories, 31, okay, 31, than Peyton Manning and Joe Montana combined.
They
have 30. And, you know, we grew up watching Montana. I saw him play at Notre Dame. I loved him. I thought he was the greatest of all time for a long time. And, of course, Peyton Manning, as much as we wanted him to lose against the Patriots, had a phenomenal career.
Oh, yeah.
He had 16 postseason victories. Joe Montana had 14. And Brady now has 31. I mean, that's absurd.
Hey, listen, how long is his contract for in Tampa Bay?
Yeah, well, next year. He's guaranteed next season at $25 million.
Yeah. The other thing, too, was what you noticed is how poised he was.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday. You know, he knew what was going to happen. And just, as they mentioned it last night, sliding around in the pocket, moving away from the pressure. And yet every pass that he threw with his feet set. He threw squaring up. You know, and you just think back to the horror show that we watched this fall.
Yep.
And it's like, my God, if we had the guy that could at least turn his shoulders and point his front foot where the ball is going to go.
Oh, yeah, good point.
He might have had a better season.
Good point.
But, I mean, you look and going, That's why he's, and that's why he's still around. He's textbook. I watched him get, he got tackled one time, and he was already rolling down when the tackler got to him. He wasn't going to stand there and take a full brunch. He was simply rolling with the punch. And that's how he has survived on his whole career. He feels the pressure 90% of the time or more, and he's already hunkering down, just relaxing his body and letting the player take us out of the ground. And that's why he can't fight back up.
You know, it's funny, guys. I guess we always, you know, all of us, to a certain degree, took him for granted when he was in New England. And I can tell you, I have two close friends who are Tampa Bay Buccaneers season ticket holders. And they are, it's like they died and went to heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Because they've had Tom Brady. They haven't had any playoff teams in a long time. And they go to see Brady play. And they're like in heaven because they've never seen anything like this in their lifetime as being Tampa Bay fans. So it's another slice of life that we're used to up here.
Yeah.
They're seeing down there.
Well, we share. We can share. And
we can share. Two other quick things. How about Chase Young's pronouncement? I can't wait to see Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You know, and the only way he got close to him is if he had a GPS. I mean, right? That, he would have needed a cell phone to reach Brady. He didn't come close to him.
I'll tell you, his offensive line did a great job of keeping him away.
Mike, you gotta write that, man. Did you write that in some column or something?
Oh, no, but I mean,
that's good
stuff. One other point, before we break it off, guys, if I can bring this up, Bill Belichick, I know he's been, is chosen to get Trump's medal of, you know, gold
freedom.
Medal of freedom. I'm hoping he turns it down. I mean, please.
We all are. But I got to tell you, I have to say, I know it was against the New York Jets. I don't care. The Patriots team, whether they were JVs or not, they played with pride, and it was a fun game to watch. I'm sorry. I'm a Patriots fan. That's all there is to it.
Me too. Yeah.
All right, Miguel, we'll do it Monday.
That sounds great, guys.
Thank you. Be safe and, you know, have some good stuff for it. Have some of that poetic stuff for next week, too.
Yeah. Okay. Take care, guys.
All right, Mike. Good night. That's Mike Grenier, sports journalist, sports writer emeritus for the Salem News. Tim, you get the final word here. We do have the national championship game coming up here in a few minutes, and we also have Scott Cooper coming up on our program talking about Marblehead sports. But Tim, what's your final observations?
I just hope that the national championship game is competitive. That neither side really runs away with it. We saw very competitive games in the NFL this weekend, and I think it'd be a nice way to top it off. Would be a nice competitive national championship game between Alabama and Ohio State, no matter who you're rooting for.
I agree. Thank you very much. And I'm going to end this by saying I'm praying for the Republic and hope for the best. The Constitution has to stand tall. That's all there is to it. And we need peace in this country. We need peace, and we need us to all act as Americans. Tim, I appreciate it, man. We're going to be back in the studio in 2021. It's going to happen. I don't know when in 2021, but it's going to happen.
Exactly.
All right, Coach. Stay safe. Be well. Talk to you Monday.
All right, Eric. Have a good week.
Thank you, Tim. Take care.
Yep.
All right, that's Tim Kearns, who is our sports analyst and ambassador of goodwill. We're going to end this thing with Scott Cooper, a great friend, and we're going to take a break and come back with Scott. This is North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and, of course, Bill Newell. We will be right back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows.
Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we're joined now by Marblehead reporter and all-around good guy, Scott Cooper. Scott, it's been a while. We haven't talked to you. Have we talked since this whole thing broke out?
I don't think we've talked since maybe hockey season, basketball season. It's been a while.
Yeah.
A long time. Maybe February.
Yeah, I had to visit my wife's office is up in Newburyport, and she's been working from home.
Yeah.
And I had to pick something up at her office. And the calendar is stuck on March 13th, and it's so eerie, you know? It's just weird.
Yeah.
Hey, how you guys doing? How's everybody doing so far?
Down in Swampscott, we're doing all right.
Yeah.
Things are okay.
Okay. All right. Well, let's, you know, I went to my first sporting event Saturday night at the Talbot Rink in Gloucester and saw Gloucester versus Peabody. There were, you know, a couple of sets of parents who were there. And that was about it. It was a very eerie experience. It was very weird. Now, you've been covering primarily Marblehead, Swampscott, but Marblehead to start this winter season. And let's start with what you've uncovered with maybe some of the seniors, guys accepting colleges or something.
I just wanted to echo what you said about weirdness. I mean, I went to Marblehead boys hockey practice at the Connery over in Lynn last Friday. And the Big Blue were practicing after them. So the Big Blue are outside, fully dressed, except for skates, waiting to go into the rink. And all the Marblehead kids are, you know, there's no dressing rooms. They're sitting in metal folding chairs 6-7 feet away from each other. It was really pretty strange. And the same situation was with the girls. I was over with the Marblehead girls this morning. So really, really strange.
Yeah, to watch the varsity come in off the buses or even come in from the local town all dressed. I mean, they look like the peewees, you know, the midgets all dressed and come in. And as you say, they sit down and finish up. But the whole thing is just so bizarre. But at least they're playing.
Yeah, it reminds me when I was little when you would get dressed at home.
Yeah.
When you were in peewees and you'd put the little, you know, the things on your skates that protect the blades.
Oh, yeah.
You just...
Yeah.
You dress when you get there. But just a couple of things off the field, Rick. Ben Weed, who was the captain of the golf team, is also a right-handed pitcher for the Magicians. He'll be pitching, hopefully, if everything goes well and they got a spring season. He's going to High Point University, and he's going to give it a shot to make the golf team.
A little warmer down there, Scott.
Yeah. And he was... very fortunate because he got to tour the school before the pandemic hit, so that sealed the deal for him.
Mm-hmm.
He went down there, met everybody.
Nice.
He's going to try out for golf, and he's also going to try out for baseball at Division One. So he's going to give it a shot. And Josie Poulin, who's a senior, plays soccer and lacrosse at Marblehead, was accepted at Roger Williams. She was going to play lacrosse, and they're D3. And the soccer coach reached out to her and said, why don't you play soccer, too? So she's going to be playing soccer in the fall and lacrosse in the spring next year at Roger Williams. So,
hey, that's good news. Good news all the way around. Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Now, let me turn it over to you. Have you talked hockey at all in Marblehead? Have you seen anything or covered that?
I've spoken a lot with the boys team. I can just give you a rundown. The boys captains this year are Charlie Titus, Will Schull, and JT Monahan. JT Monahan also plays football. Titus plays football. And Titus also is a baseball player. So the baseball players did get a chance to get some action in this fall with that. It used to be a Legion, but they're calling it Essex County Baseball League now.
Right.
Well, they did get to play a little bit. But those guys have got a game coming up this weekend, the 17th, they're playing in Revere at the Cronin Rink against Danvers at 2:40, so that'll be their opening day.
Oh, okay.
And so that's the closest thing that I've got with the boys. They haven't had any problems. The girls had a young lady who had tested positive, so they had to suspend things for a little bit, but they're all back in action, and Swampscott was on a delay. also for the co-op team. The three Swampska girls just got to join the team, and they added another captain. Mackenzie Wallace from Hamilton Wenham joined Abby Kalinowski from Marblehead. She's a returning captain, and they're playing, actually this week, they're playing the 13th at Peabody over at the McVan O'Keefe Arena. So they're getting underway on Wednesday.
Is that Kalinowski of the Mike Lynch Kalinowskis?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, good. How about the new coach, Scott? Have you had a chance to talk with her?
Yeah, Brittany Smith. I actually talked to her quite a bit back when she was captain of the Marblehead team, I want to say 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
She was captain of the team, so I'd met her before, and she's very excited. She's got her friend Devin Kane as an assistant coach, and she's excited to get going with the girls.
All right, and what about, have you had a chance to look into basketball at all?
I have not. I have only spoken over the phone and received texts
from
the basketball guys. I just finished up writing a basketball story on the boys. Jacob Scherf, I spoke to the captains. Jacob Scherf is a guard. He's one of the captains. Julian Stux, point guard, shooting guard. Mitchell Corelli, and Sammy Laughlin. Those are the captains, and I just spoke to them today. And they said one of the good things they've got going for them is all this practice time. They're kind of getting used to the masks, but it's very strange. And they have a lot of players that can play a lot of positions.
So
pretty good in that respect.
So will you be talking about that in the reporter, the Marblehead Reporter, coming up?
Well, they've got a game tomorrow night at Masconomet, and the girls are playing at home. So in the interest of travel, I'll probably be at the girls' game tomorrow and, in Marblehead and talk to the boys' basketball guys later.
Yeah.
So,
well, and, go ahead. I'm sorry.
They open up. I just it's really strange. I want to just double-check because I had heard that some of the schools weren't letting people in there. You know, I guess two parents. There are different rules.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be calling around to find out what's going on as far as the media. So I'll be there with my credential, and I know most of the folks over there, so hopefully I can get in and watch that game tomorrow.
I was very nervous on Saturday night because Brian LaFada, the Gloucester director of athletics, Gloucester High School's athletics director, allowed me to go in and set up in my usual spot, which was very generous. You know, it's behind the bench, and it's behind the it's not behind the bench, between the benches and behind the scorer's table. And it's away from everybody, thank goodness. But my mask kept slipping down while I was trying to broadcast, and it's like, nah, it's just too freaky. It's just strange. But the kids, I was surprised, were very aware of it, very cognizant. I didn't see anybody lose his mask or have it slip down while I was watching the game, and they were very, very careful. And so, you know, it seems to me that, I don't know, if you've looked at the papers or anything, Scott, otherwise, sports are pretty much getting underway in the winter events?
Yeah, pretty much. It's really strange, though. I remember when we first started out with soccer and, you know, the fall sports, golf and what have you, I was able to talk to the kids. You know, I'd shoot some video with them. I'd be about, you know, 10 feet away or so, and they, you know, they had no mask on. But now everybody's got the mask on, and sometimes it's a little difficult to make out what they say, so I always preface everything, talk as loud as you can.
Yeah, and I just, it's just so disconcerting. But we're so close, you know, to riding this storm out. Finally, Scott, tell me a little bit about the job that Glenn Siglarski's doing, because he, like all the other ADs, you know, they've got a hell of a lot to do.
Yeah, I spoke to him last week. Also spoke to Mark Tarmey at length, and he said since everybody is in the same boat, everyone's been cooperating. Like, for instance, the boys' soccer team was looking for someone to play, and, you know, Beverly didn't have anyone, so they played Beverly, and the same thing happened again. I think one of the Lynn teams couldn't play, so they played Beverly again. So everyone is really helping each other out. It's not like everybody's battling for points to go to the state tournament. They just want to get all the kids as much playing time as they can.
Have you had any dealings or I don't know what the word is, but any response from parents? Because in Gloucester, I know, in fact, I think a lot of the towns, and maybe this is an off-the-wall question, but in Gloucester they have, I think it's called KPAN Live. Jim Capillo and Phil Nicastro broadcast the games on video over Facebook, and they do a terrific job. So, and I was watching some of the comments there. By the way, that cuts into to our audience, so, you know, it makes it tough for us, but, you know, it's all about the kids. And a lot of the parents were really appreciative in watching the game that way. Do you know if, like, Marblehead or Swampscott, are they able to do live streaming video?
I know they do it for football. I'm sure Marblehead TV will be doing some games, whether they're hockey games or basketball games, I don't know at this point. Mm-hmm. But Marblehead TV covers a lot of the sporting events over there for the headers and magicians.
Yeah. Well, what's your schedule look like? I mean, I don't know what the schedule is. I think most hockey games, teams are playing, 10 to 13 games? And do you look like you're going to be out in the rinks and in the courts? I know you got to check to see if you can get in.
Well, I haven't had any problems getting into Lynn yet, and the Cronin rink is run by the FHM, so I don't think it'll be a problem. You know, just wear the credential. You know, I was reading of some other sports guys, just put the ID on and go in and just stay away from everybody. And mm-hmm. what it's going to entail, I mean, I usually like to talk to the kids after the game. Somebody scores a hat trick or whatever, but that's going to be after the game over the phone or via text. You know, I'll just grab a couple of words from the coach. So, you know, I'm not intermingling with the kids. Just stay as far away from this possible, which is kind of a drag, but that's the way it is.
Right. And the other thing is I know that they have to leave the area. I mean, as soon as the game is over, boom, they evacuate.
Right.
And that really makes it tough to talk to them. So, yeah. All right. So go ahead.
The next group of people are waiting outside the front door to fully dress.
I know.
Do their thing.
It's just so weird. Well, okay, Scott, so what's coming up on your schedule in the short term that we can look for in the Marblehead Reporter?
Well, I've got a bunch of stories coming out on the boys' basketball preview. We've got boys' hockey. We've got girls' hockey. We've got some updates, as I mentioned, on Ben Weed and Josie Poulin. And there's also the girls' basketball team. I did a preview last week, and that'll probably be running this week, I believe. So, because I'm going to have, I'll have stuff on Twitter tomorrow night on the Marblehead girls basketball game, and I'll be on Twitter Wednesday with the girls hockey game, and for sure Sunday when the boys play Danvers and Revere.
All right.
The Cronin Ring.
And what's the Twitter account? What do we look for there?
At BS Cooper 60.
B.S. Cooper 60. I'm not even going to ask, but okay.
Well, my first name is Bruce, so.
And now you tell me.
I've never been called Bruce in my life. That's my first.
Okay. I think Electric Light, so never mind. All right. That is Scott Cooper of the Marblehead Reporter. We'll be right back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.